This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2014 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm with Mark Baker, president of AOPA, in the booth of AOPA. Mark, two things to talk about here. One is user fees, and the other is third-class medical, or the suspension thereof, we hope. Let's talk about user fees. You recently went to Ottawa, Canada, to talk to Canadian pilots, and I assume NAV Canada about this. What did you learn there, and where does it go from here?
Well, we still have a lot to learn about, you know, what's going to be the future of the FAA and how it could possibly work. There's a lot of good things about the FAA in terms of, I think the ATO actually works pretty well today. You know, you get good response, and we can move around this country pretty efficiently without user fees, which has continued to be our issue with AOPA. We do not, will not ever support user fees for general aviation. And certainly in Canada, they have kind of somewhat of a user fee by the access that they use to use their airspace. For general aviation, it's pretty small. It's like $150 for the year. But I think they've got a really interesting system up there. You know, it's broke out completely from the government. It's a non-profit, non-share-based kind of organization. It seems to work really well for them. And they've built their technology so well that they're actually exporting their technology. So we learned a lot of respect for the Canadians and how far they've come. But today, you know, AOP has been the same position. This: no user fees are acceptable for general aviation.
You can enlighten me here. I know that I think Canadian pilots pay between 69 and 150 or something like that per year. There aren't that many of them. How does that raise even a useful amount of revenue? Was that explained to you?
Well, the understanding I have from it was it's basically I'm almost kind of calling it a minimum license that they have annually. Kind of think of it that way for general aviation. It depends on the weight of the aircraft, kind of two classes, I believe, of lightweight general aviation aircraft. Most of the fees go toward business aircraft and airlines is where they're levied at. And the administration of the NAV Canada feels very strongly that it doesn't cost them much to anything to have general aviation move around their country. Much different country than ours and a much smaller population than ours as well.
So what's the justification for that even minimal user fee?
I think you'd have to ask them for that, but I think it was probably some type of a acquiescence to others to say you got to pay something.
Now, as I understand it, in Canada, that they don't pay a per-flight fee of any kind?
That's correct. I mean, I fly to Canada often myself to go fishing up there, and you could get basically a quarterly, you know, one time, or you could buy an annual one time.
Let's transition to the third-class medical. We heard from Jack Felton this morning. He reminded us that the FAA promised to have something in writing or a proposal by May. Here it is July. We haven't heard anything. Where is all that going?
Well, I'm very optimistic that we're going to see some significant movement from the FAA and some type of announcement very soon. I can't tell you that because we don't control their timing. But we've been in discussions with them daily, weekly, monthly, about, you know, this is the number one thing that affects most of our general aviation pilots. And the ability to grow pilot population and get them back in the game is this issue. And it's simple, and there's statistics. The statistics are in our favor. There is no issues of safety that we think that raises. LSA has proved it for 12 years. So I'm very excited about it. Administrator Ward was just out to our office a couple weeks ago. We went back through the issues that remain in front of us. So up to him to say the timing, but I am very optimistic we'll get to a good place.
What would you expect the proposal to be?
Well, I would think it's going to be somewhere between the legislative issue where it's a 6,000-pound IFR, maybe VFR, or VFRM, maybe IFR. You know, how many passengers, up to figure that out, what level AGL, all those kind of things. You probably have to have a medical once in your life. You've not been denied. You have to be in special issuance. You can still be in that program for a while. So I think those are kind of the basics that round it out.
And would that be your best case?
I think it's a very good place to start, and I think that we'll learn and go from there. But I think it would bring an awful lot of people back in. We're probably called 90% of the general aviation airplanes that could be qualified.
Why hasn't it happened so far?
Why hasn't it happened so far? Pretty good question. Why hasn't it happened? I've been with this game for a year now, and I've been working on it every day, every week since I've been here, and I feel like we're making some real progress. We've got 130 people in Congress that have signed up to support it.
Do you think ultimately it'll come out of administrative action, or is it going to take legislative action?
Well, we're prepared for both. I think administratively is the best chance for the FAA to kind of take the lead and say, we can run with this. They do not want Congress to tell them how to run their shop. So, but we're going to use Congress to keep the ball moving.
If we eliminated the third-class medical next week, what would be the impact?
Well, I think I'd like to ask you that question, actually, but I think it would be positive. I think people would go back out and start investing in general aviation aircraft. They'd be back out to the airport. They'd be trying to get caught back up in a rusty pilot kind of way to say, I want to get back in this game. And some of the people that have gone to the sidelines, call it 500,000 people, would come back very quickly.
And what about impact on the light sports segment?
Well, I don't know what it'll do there. There's some really cool airplanes in the light sports segment. People are just devoted to that kind of technology and low cost, if you will, to fly. So I think it could be a positive for them as well. I don't think it'll necessarily be a negative.
Yeah, when we talk to light sport in the industry segment, there's real concern there that it'll just kind of decimate it, because a lot of those buyers are people who either never had a medical or don't, or can't get a medical, or think they can't get a medical.
That's right. There's still going to be some of that issue, but in the size of the population of aircraft out there, you're talking a few thousand light sports, and general aviation airplanes that this would affect would probably be 200,000. So it's more likely to get more people back flying faster through this mechanism. So I think if you have to look at weighing the pilot population, I think it's more important to go there.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Mark Baker, president of AOPA. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2014. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.